Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leanne Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, we've just experienced this afternoon a little bit of Miller time.
Oh, it is total Miller time. It's so stressful for me.
Oh, I was like,
and I know better.
Listen, you have the cutest little studio down here and you've just been like taking notes and doing research. And I just had a couple things I had to do before I got here.
Is
it BMV or DMV? I had to go there. I had to go to that place.
We need to give the full picture because we said, hey, let's schedule a time to do recording. And then we said, oh, let's do some brainstorming before and then we'll record.
Yeah, that was such a good idea. That was your idea.
We did some brainstorming. Yeah, we ate at Mariola. Oh, that's actually part of my good day.
In Worcester.
I know. It's so good. We sat on the patio.
Mariola, if you are listening,
you should sponsor us because we love you.
We love chicken parm. You had the Alfredo.
I had Alfredo with
shrimp.
It
was creamy and delicious.
Mm.
Yeah.
But listen, so we decided, hey, we're going to record this afternoon. Mm-hmm. Let's meet first. Mm-hmm. And you said, hey, before I come and record at your house, I need to go to the DMV. What?
The Department of Motor Vehicles.
Who in the actual heck does that to someone? That is like the most notorious long errand ever. It's not like I need to run to the bank. It's not like I need. No, it is the actual, like in the Disney movie Zootopia, all the workers at the DMV were sloths as a joke. Because it's the most notoriously slow place.
No, not in Worcester.
No, they're not.
DMV is amazing.
But
and the women in there are amazing.
No, this is going to trump what you're saying.
Okay.
They do so much online now. And if you would figure this out.
I know. I'm just not that generation, Matt.
But you can learn.
I could learn. You're right. I could turn over a new leaf and get online and try to get my.
I know, but you're 55.
Yeah, it's hard.
But I think you can do it.
I love your faith in me. What's your good day?
Well, that was part of my good day, even though it was rough. We just had a really great meal. We had a great server.
We had a great discussion.
We had a great patio time.
Yes.
It was good. Like we talked in summer things last week about eating outside.
Yeah.
And it is a great time to eat outside in Ohio.
It's exactly what we did. We ate on the very patio we talked about.
We live the podcast.
We do.
So if you think we're fakers, you are wrong. We live it out.
Yeah, one of my friends said to me not long ago, they're like, oh, are you doing that for the podcast? Are you doing that because of the podcast? I'm like, wait, what? Like, but the podcast is
our life,
is what we are.
We like, live we first, do. Then like, we talk about it. We don't talk about it and then live.
It has to be the overflow. Your good day was good.
Yeah,
okay,
it was good.
My good day has to do with why I went to the DMV. Some people, do they call it the BMV? I think it's interchangeable.
Can be both.
Okay. Interesting. I wasn't positive about that.
Yeah. You could Google it.
Yeah. Oh, Google. So I got together with a dear, dear girlfriend of mine from high school, from my senior year of high school. Shout out Diana Ritchie.
Diana Ritchie, if you are listening.
She actually is a producer for the adult cartoon called American Dad.
Yeah, and you know what?
It's naughty. It's a little naughty.
Diana, I think you should make characters after us.
Yeah, I think you should. Diane.
I think we would make really good American Dad cartoons.
Anyway, she's so bright and wonderful and just absolutely a joy to be around. And we went to a local place for lunch called The Leaf.
The Leaf.
If you are listening. Man, the bell's on fire today.
Alrighty.
We just sat and visited for so long and caught up. And then we took my little Volkswagen convertible bug with the top down. We decided to go get manicures. It was so Miller time, last minute fun. We weren't planning on it. We just, and so we're going up this beautiful tree-lined street, and I'm not speeding. I'm not breaking any laws. And these lights go on behind me.
Yeah.
The cop pulled me over.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, hello. And he's like, oh, you ladies look like you're having fun. I'm like, we are. I wasn't speeding. Was I? What'd I do? Did I do something wrong?
I'm sure you turned on your 55-year-old
charm. And he was so lovely. He could have been my son. And he said, ma'am, he said, did you know your tags are expired? I'm like, oh, no.
Your birthday's in August.
I know.
Those are really expired. Those are like bad.
And the whole time Diana is laughing. And I said, you know, I don't normally drive this car very much in the winter. I had no idea. He was so nice. And when he walked away, Diana goes, do you realize that one of the last times we were together, which could have been all of 30 years ago, not lying, she's like, we were pulled over. And I'm like,
did you remember?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
I was speeding that time. I was going on just a little too fast.
Well, you're slowing down.
And I'm like, listen, we're just going to keep this up. Every time we get together, we just get, you know, we have a cop interaction, you know, keep it lively. but that was just such a good day. It's so, you know, it's so lovely to reconnect with someone that you have such fond memories of and you just love. It's such a nice thing to do. If you have somebody from your past, from high school or junior high, or maybe it's even elementary school, if you can remember back that far, that you're like, you know, I want to reconnect. I want to get together with this person. I encourage you to
do it.
Facebook message them or Instagram DM them or text them if you've got their number, because it was such a good day.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was.
That's
it
so
was
fun. Awesome. Hey, well, today we are talking a little bit about the idea of less is more.
Yes.
Less is more. You know, you hear that all the time. And so I had to look up a little bit about less is more and where that comes from, because I don't know. It comes from different places, but there are signs of it in like old Greek writing, those concepts.
Okay.
But truly the actual phrase less is more was made popular by a architect. It was by an architect like in the 1950s. If you think about
that long ago,
furniture, like the mid-century modern, that minimalist furniture movement, he said that the principle is really based on the idea that we move all of the fluff and we bring clarity to everything. Like that removing all, you know, if you think about, since this comes from the world of furniture, you know, you think about like French furniture and how like ornate it can be and the filigrees and all that stuff.
Oh,
and so
even
this
some,
guy said,
even some, I call them bubble recliners, even some of those big puffy recliners that have like pouches for your remotes and cup holders and a tray for your food.
Yeah.
And they're just extra, extra, extra.
So it's all about enhancing clarity in your life. And I also was thinking about this is when I think of less is more, my first thought is always stuff.
Right.
So here's what I was,
or money,
or money. Yeah. But I was thinking about stuff in our life. And here's a little bit of statistics, because I love those. In the last year, 52% of adults have purged.
In the last year?
In the last year, 50%, 52% of adults in America have purged. 11% of Americans would consider themselves minimalists. So that's just having less.
Okay. Okay.
26%, and I've never heard this term before, I looked this up, would call themselves intentionalists, that what they buy and what they surround themselves with is intentional.
Okay.
I have never claimed to be a minimalist, as you can look around and see. Mm-hmm. I have never claimed to be it, but I know it's a really, you know, my sister would say that she's a minimalist, that she is intentional about what she brings in her home, and she intentionally wants to have less stuff.
You know, I think I'm a hybrid. I think that
I think that
I'm a combination of intentionalist and maximalist.
Yeah.
I love beautiful things. I love beautiful dishes.
Yeah.
I love beautiful furniture. I love things that work well in your space.
Yeah.
So I am intentional. I don't just buy things to buy things. if we're walking through Target and there's this aisle that there's a, just a bunch of stuff on clearance.
That's not you.
That's not me. But if we're at a thrift store and there's like
a swan
and it's cool, yes, I will probably just, you know, I'll probably go there.
Yeah.
But I won't just buy any swan, and you know this. The swan has to.
Your swans these days.
Swan has to speak to me. So really, I would say that. Well, first of all, let's back up. 52% of people purging within the last year is a very high statistic.
Yeah,
and it's impressive.
Are you? Do you go through seasons where you want to purge and you just go through?
I'm
everything?
In it right now. I'm in the season. I was going through my closet, this morning, and I was like, okay, anything that I have not worn for like a year and a half, it needs to go.
Yeah.
So I am kind of feeling that way a little bit right now. And I think maybe summer might have something to do with
totally.
That too.
Totally. Listen, we get really hygge in the winter. We love like cozy. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. I don't want a project. I just want to read. I just want to sit by the fire. Right, so I get that. And I think this is the season where we purge.
Right.
For
right.
us, it's similar. It's summer, but it's because we have more time.
Right.
We
right.
have more time to go through things. We are pulling stuff out. We're packing for vacation. So we're like, oh, you haven't worn this since last summer or mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay. Listen to this. In regards to how often Americans purge, 9% of Americans purge monthly. That's a lot to me.
I don't purge monthly.
Mm-mm. 39% of Americans purge two times a year, and 10% of Americans would say they never purge.
Well, I would say I was an area purger. Like I purged areas of my house when we lived in Walnut Creek, but we had a big basement, so it was so easy to be like, I'm not sure what I want to do with that, so just put
just
it, in
shove
the
it in the basement.
And let me tell you. It is so hard when you go to move from a space if you have been doing that kind of thing.
It's
because
true.
All of a sudden that basement became just such a, just was like an albatross. It was so hard.
Such a burden.
It was such a burden. And when we were purging, when we were getting ready to move, I remember saying to Daryl, I can't go down there.
Yeah. How long did it take you to work on the basement?
Well, and then what Daryl did, methodical way, he said, I'm gonna start bringing stuff up from the basement for you to start going through.
No, that's wise.
And so he brought, like, he would bring two or three totes or two or three boxes or two or three, you know, items upstairs, and that's how we got it done.
Yeah.
And because when I would go down and see the full picture, it would just overwhelm me.
Yeah.
Our friend Wilma, we still laugh about this, because when you go to her house at Christmas time, almost so much of the Christmas decorations are from my house in Walnut Creek. And she came over when I was purging the Christmas stuff. She came over one day, because I know how much she loves Christmas decorating. Yeah. And I said, just if you see an item, lift it up in the air and I'll yell the price. So she would lift something up in the air and I would say $4, and she'd be like, sold. So
That's so fun.
It does my heart good that somebody has some of those things that truly loves Christmas and loves mm-hmm. them, but I have not missed any of them.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. I am in a season where I think when our kids were little, we tried to have less. But listen, kids bring a whole level of stuff into your life.
Yes.
And now we're just in a season where we go through every couple of months.
Like
we're
toys.
Like, okay, get rid of stuff, mm-hmm. get rid of stuff, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of mm-hmm. thing. And truthfully, out of the two of us, it's not that I love stuff. It's that I have memories and I hold on to memories with
Same.
Stuff.
I keep stuff, man.
Mallory doesn't bother her.
Oh, yeah.
Like she will purge when I'm not home, because I'm the one that's like, oh, I don't want to get that
away. I'm
a keeper. I'm a keeper too.
Yeah, I'm a keeper.
Is it sentimental for you?
It's sentimental. It's also like, I might need that one day.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, I have some really cool antique stuff that maybe I'm not using, but I'm keeping, because, you know, also the boys have houses now and,
right.
you know, they'll like something.
But like,
something.
do kids really want the stuff their parents save?
Well, I think at certain ages, no. But now that our boys are in their 20s and have houses, they're like, why did we ever get rid of that?
And yeah. I'm like, do they talk
guys,
like that?
No, they don't. But I think probably things that I think you can pretty much determine the things that your kids might be interested in.
Yeah. I also think in regards to less is more, when it comes to clutter, when it comes to stuff, there's a payoff for all of this.
Right.
So the payoff is, it's not just having less for the sake of having less. I mean,
correct,
there is,
right,
but there is a payoff for this. And what I have read and what I've observed and what I've talked to people about is that when we have less stuff in our life, it brings more energy to our life.
Well, you said, you know, clarity earlier.
I did say clarity earlier.
That was really good. I think for me, once we purged that house in Walnut Creek, now you know what a big deal that was.
Oh, I know.
It took a year.
It was big.
But once that happened, boy, do you feel lighter.
Absolutely.
And your brain doesn't feel quite as harried or something, or full.
Right.
It's just a lighter feeling. You feel good afterwards.
Right.
And also the feeling of those items are getting a second life if they were just sitting somewhere in a corner.
That's true. That's true. And I think too, when it comes to that, it's for me, the more stuff I have, the more stuff I have to manage, the
right,
more stuff breaks that I need to fix,
right,
it.
Right.
You know, all that stuff, it, right, just adds more and more to your life. And so I think when we have less stuff, really, it relieves our stress and anxiety. Mm-hmm. I was also thinking this, what do you think it means, less is more, in regards to our words? And our words, the words that come out of our mouth, and what that means.
Well, I would say that Daryl has been my best in real life example,
yeah,
of that.
Yeah.
I think that because he doesn't use lots and lots of words, mm-hmm, when he does use his words, they have weight.
Yeah.
And they mean something.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that for me, I have found myself in situations because I just want to be, when I communicate with people, I just want to be understood.
Right, right, right.
And I have found myself, and I honestly can't think of a specific example, but I know that I've learned this before, is, you know, when you over talk something, or you just want to get your point across, or want to make sure that you're understood.
Right, or explain yourself, and
yes,
your thought process or your position. Or
honestly, sometimes, mm-hmm, it just makes it worse. Instead of just letting it be what it is, mm-hmm, you know.
Or it makes it confusing.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so I think less is more in regards to our words is really important. And I think you're right. It makes our words matter more, mm-hmm, when there's less. Mm-hmm. And it makes our words matter more. Ironically, we're on a podcast where we're talking for 35 minutes right now. But I think when we say less, it actually means more in,
yeah,
the long run.
Yeah. Well, and I think it also depends on what you're saying. I mean, some,
totally,
people that say less say things that are ridiculous and
that's fair. Yeah.
You know, and it's not true. But if it's someone that you respect and someone that is of good character, and again, I'll use Daryl as an example. You know, he can say one sentence after I've been hashing around something for a while, he can say one sentence and I'll go, oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, or he'll listen to me, you know, talk about something. And then in the end, he'll say, well, what do you want to have happen?
Yeah.
And I'll be like, oh.
That's really funny.
You know, and I think it's also thinking about what we're saying.
Right.
Like thinking about the words we're using.
Totally.
I also think, especially if you are in struggle or turmoil or an argument or a disagreement with someone, our tendency when we argue is to say more.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that that just often, not always, but
yeah,
often it escalates and inflames everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think sometimes there's wisdom in just taking a break, mm-hmm, gathering your thoughts and coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another one. What does it mean to have less technology in our life? When we dial down the technology in our life, often it's replaced by more connection.
Well, wouldn't you also include just basically screens? I mean, because it's not just technology; it's also Netflix or Hulu,
oh, yeah,
or Law and Order SVU.
Well, I mean, technically, those are screens too.
Yeah.
Technology.
Yeah. So I would say I heard this recently. I heard this recently on a video by a doctor of trauma. Like, she specializes in trauma. And she said, if you are watching two episodes of Law and Order SVU, which basically is just trauma and controlled violence,
yeah,
before you go to bed, as a way to unwind, She said, the bigger question I'd be asking yourself is why does trauma or controlled violence, why is that something that you're using to relax you?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's like, that is something to think about.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, you could say all kinds of things in response to that, but I would say that even about our screens, as far as doom scrolling, I know that's a term a lot of people use, but I would just say mindless scrolling, where you're scrolling, almost as if we're looking for that information that's going to give us that hit of dopamine or serotonin or, you know, make us feel better maybe, mm-hmm. but it certainly doesn't relax us.
100%. You know,
so I've been trying to plug my phone in a different area of our house at night when I want to go to bed. So I'm not even tempted to tap the screen to even see what time it is, because if I do that, then I might see that one of the boys text messaged or whatever.
And then it opens up the floodgates.
Or just the screen coming on is, it can be a distraction. So I do think that, I don't think that screens are necessarily the problem.
Totally.
I think I think it's how we manage them.
Absolutely. Well, and I think, you know, we didn't always have screens. So what were parents talking about 30 years ago before we all had cell phones in our pockets? It was television. Mm-hmm. What was it before that? It was probably music or radio or kids sit, you know, kids these days just sit around the jukebox. I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't think the tool is not the problem. It's the discipline around it. Mm-hmm. It's how we use it. It's how often we use it and what it's used for. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I think sometimes we're really quick to that end. I think we're really quick on jumping down young people.
Right.
And saying that young people on screens is the problem. Listen, I know old people.
Listen.
I know old people.
I just want to say.
That sit on screens and don't talk to the people around them. So like, don't do that to kids.
Yeah. Not only that, I actually think if we would take a survey and really look around, I do think it's the crowd that's over 40 that actually looks at their screen and they're connected more to their screens than people in their teens and 20s.
Yeah.
I really do.
I have not battled the teenage screen yet in my life. So we'll see when I get there.
Our boys are in their 20s and they're the ones saying, hey, mom, put your phone away.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think obviously it depends on the family and the person.
Right.
But I do think that to say that young people are worse about it than the older generation, I absolutely disagree with that. In fact, I think younger people have much better phone etiquette than older people.
Yeah.
And screen etiquette than older people. I've been in bathrooms where I'll be hearing like a YouTube video in the bathroom.
Same.
Or someone will answer their phone on speaker in the bathroom or in the grocery store and walk around on speaker.
I know.
Now listen, if you're hearing impaired, of course that's a whole different thing.
Right.
And it's a very small percentage of people. Right. But I just think that phone etiquette is a thing that sometimes the younger generation gets a bad rap.
They
when
do.
I really think the older gen, I've seen it, I've witnessed it, I've been
totally
around
agree.
It. The older generation is just as guilty of it, and maybe lack, because my generation and older, and my, well, I would even say 40 and older, we weren't raised with the telephones and learning, you know, what is really like the proper etiquette,
right.
where kids now in their, you know, early 30s and their 20s and even in their teens, you know better what is more acceptable,
right.
and you know, really not to answer their phone in the public bathroom. Like, you know, hey, oh, okay, yeah, the lettuce would be in the outside garage. You know, just no.
Yeah. I know. I don't understand that one either. But you know, I think in regards to technology, and I've said this a couple episodes ago, is with our kids, you know, I think it's easy to, with the less is more approach, is to say none to the technology, to say no technology at all. And I'm of the opinion that technology isn't going anywhere.
Oh,
and
right.
So I have a really short window of time to navigate it alongside my children, where I do have some control, instead of when they turn 18 years old,
right.
giving them a phone and they have access to anything on Al Gore's World Wide Web,
right.
You know? And so right now we're in a season where we, you know, I'll be honest, our kids have tablets. They wake up in the summer They go on their tablet at 7 o'clock when they wake up until mommy and daddy come downstairs. And it's a nice thing for them.
Right.
But are they on it all day? Absolutely not. No. So there's balance there. There's balance to the force for sure.
Right.
So I think the less is more approach, it also just helps us reestablish our priorities. And I guess clarity is the best word. Mm-hmm. It brings clarity.
I would say also with the less is more topic, when I think of stuff and I think of cars and I think of houses and I think of places, I do wish in many ways I could go back and rewind some of what we invested our money in when it came to, you know, a bigger house and that kind of thing. Like I look at you and Mallory and I think, okay, stay here, stay in this house, you know, and if you move, don't think you need a bigger house than you have now because you have everything you need right here.
Totally.
And then that sets you up for, being more financially healthy later instead of just accumulating a bigger house and, you know, newer vehicles and all of that. Yeah. All of that.
It's true. Listen, I'm not very handy. I don't want a bigger house. That means more stuff is breaking.
You know, Daryl was talking the other day about the idea of building a house. And, you know, I've always thought that the farmhouse that we would stay there, I'm fine if we stay there till we die.
Totally.
I love that place. But when he was talking about building a house, I've thought about it since. And I really think the only thing I would want to do is have a place very similar to what we live in now. Not a big place. I don't want more than 2,000 square feet.
Yeah.
And have it all on one floor.
Yeah.
And I would like a little bit bigger kitchen.
Yeah.
And I would like 3 bedrooms instead of just 2 bedrooms.
Yeah.
And I do have a bedroom area downstairs in the basement, and it works. It works fine. It's great. The boys actually fight over sleeping on there because it's always cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can make do with what you have so often. If you have less, you can make a wonderful life with less instead of thinking that you have to have more.
Absolutely.
One little trick I always tell our boys, and I do it myself, and it's worked because all of us have older vehicles and all of us drive vehicles that have no payments.
Yeah.
And one of my tricks for being content in the vehicle you have is get it detailed.
Mm-hmm.
Make an appointment. Now it's going to cost you about $250 at a good detailer, but go to a good detailer, get it detailed, and you pick that vehicle up and you're like, I got a new car.
New money.
and I think there are ways that we can cultivate and till up contentment in our life without having to go buy the new thing.
Absolutely. I think too, it just brings so much to our life because when we take some dial back, whether it's material items, technology, entertainment choices, all of that time spent on those things is replaced with something else. Now, the hope is that you replace it with something good. Maybe that's more reading. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's more conversation.
Maybe it's going for a walk.
Yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm.
And listening to these good days.
Now, don't step on my toes about exercise.
No, never. Never. Not me.
but it always, all of those things, you know, it reduces our time doing things that maybe aren't productive, not in a productive way, like a taskmaster way, but productive in a stimulating our mind or our body way.
Right.
And I think when we replace it with the right things or we replace it with good things, we really have an opportunity to truly change our outlook on life. You know, the statistics show that it reduces our stress and anxiety when we have less is more in our life, less technology, when we have less stuff. Our anxiety, our stress really, really goes down. And so maybe there's an area for you that you're like, oh, I've been thinking about this and I need to dial it back. Think about it this week and figure out before you just, you know, I always think of this with fasting, and I know this isn't identical, but I never understood the idea of fasting when you just give up something, because from what I understand about the view of fasting is that you're meant to replace it with something good. So whether, you know, in the traditional view of fasting is often you give up a food item, but you're also meant to replace that with, often it's prayer is what's suggested. Well, on this, if you are thinking of cutting back your technology and you're like, oh, I really want to take down my screen time. Find something that you want to do to replace that with.
Good.
So if it's a hobby, if it's reading, if it's conversation, maybe it's cooking meals for your family where you're like, you know, I'm going to make nice meals. Or if it's exercise, if it's walking, whatever it is, same thing with minimalism with our stuff is maybe you want to purge your closet and say, I'm going to take out all of these things that I haven't worn, and I'm going to buy one nice new pair of jeans that I know I'm going to wear. So I think sometimes it's helpful to have a replacement for whatever it is that you're taking away.
That's good. I also think one thing less is more does, and this is going to seem obvious, and I know after this we're going to have to talk about food. Okay. Is when we accumulate more, often it costs more money. And when things cost more money, it causes more stress because there is more bills.
It's true.
So when you start removing some things off of your plate or doing things a little bit differently as it pertains to wanting more, you will find there will be less financial stress.
You landed the plane.
That has been so true in our life.
Yeah, there it is. Hey, let's talk about food.
Let's talk about food. Aren't you going to sing it with me? Let's talk about food.
I think we need to work on it. That's why I haven't joined.
Maybe we get Charlie, who did our new jingle.
Yes.
Maybe we get Charlie to do a Let's Talk About Food.
Yeah.
That would actually be kind of a good idea.
That would.
Yeah, just have him do a little tiny blurb. Anyway, tell me what you have tried lately from Walnut Creek Foods or Walnut Creek Cheese that you're like, yes, this is so good. You want me to go first?
Yes.
Okay.
Tell us.
I went to Hilton Head not long ago with my childhood girlfriends, and I took some lovely things from Walnut Creek Cheese, and their gummies, anything gummy they have there,
I agree,
is so good. It's such good quality and it's soft.
Yeah, my kids came home recently with those ones that are fruit shaped that are really shiny.
Yes, and they're kind of three-dimensional.
3D gummies.
Literally, I feel like those could be displayed on a little knick-knack shelf. They're so
cute.
They
look like porcelain.
Yes, but they're delicious.
And they're soft. They're not as hard as porcelain.
Listen, do not hand me a bag of gummies or a container of
gummies. You look
mad. That are stale and chewy and kind of hard.
Some people like them like that. Some people, listen, here's where I am with Walnut Creek Cheese right now. Walnut Creek Cheese and Market, Walnut Creek Foods, they make an incredible line of different mustards. We're in grilling season. So I love a good mustard on a burger. They have like a sweet and spicy mustard.
I just bought one. I just bought their sweet and spicy one.
Sign me up for
that.
Good. It's so good.
So good.
We are so thankful for our partnership with Walnut Creek Foods. Mm-hmm. I haven't said this for a while, but if you are curious about some of the things that we talk about, on These Are Good Days, you can go to walnutcreekfoods.com and they have a store locator for stores in your area that carry some of their products.
Yeah, such a good idea.
So I don't know what they're all going to have. You know, we visited our friend Disney Danielle in Dayton and they have a little market down the street from them called Dots.
Okay.
That carries mustards and apple butter barbecue sauce from Walnut Creek Foods. And I loved seeing it in there.
Oh, we love their apple butter barbecue sauce. Oh,
I love that.
Sign me up.
We might need to save that whole for a different day.
Okay. Whether ordinary
or extraordinary,
we hope you see that these are good days. This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.